We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. And that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff concludes his message, "It's Available to You," from the series, The Power of the Gospel, and shares the encouraging truth that the power of God is available to you as a Christian. Now, here's today's program.
We've relegated our stuff to say, no, that's not who Jesus is. See, we say the gospel's for unbelievers. It's our job to get out there and save all those unbelievers. You can't save one unbeliever in the world. We're to proclaim this gospel to the world, to everybody. That's what the Bible teaches. Everybody we're to proclaim to. And then for those who believe, they'll respond to it. And we keep proclaiming it because God doesn't put like a red letter C on the people that are eventually going to respond. He doesn't do that. Where I could be like, well, I'm not talking to you anymore because I know you're never going to respond. I don't know that. I continue to love you. I continue to share with you in hopes that God will bring you to faith in Christ. But the way to come to Christ is through faith in Christ. We share the gospel with the world, but who's the gospel for? Believers. What do I need in my life today more than anything? I need the power of God in my life now. I need the power of God in my life probably more today than I did the day that I got saved. And it's available to me. And I can have it. And sometimes when we read through the Bible, this is where we get confused. And this is why people shut their Bibles many times and be like, I'm not reading it anymore. Because we'll read through the Gospels and we'll see everything Jesus began to do miraculously. And we'll say something like this. Yeah, but that was then. That was Jesus. He doesn't do that kind of stuff anymore. So then we'll read through the book of Acts. And we'll see all these amazing things that happened. And we're like, oh yeah, but that's a history book. That's what he did in the first century with some special few. But God doesn't do that anymore. Right? See, I don't buy that. I think it's garbage. I think God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I did this thing, we called it a Bible ultra marathon. I did it with a friend about 7 years ago. We tried to read through the Bible in 33 days. It took me about 40, okay? And I read through, just kind of reading as fast as I could go through the Bible. You know what I discovered as I went through the Bible? God teaches the same lessons over and over and over to sinners, but God's power continued to be unleashed and unleashed and unleashed. There was no time that the power of God or the Holy Spirit ever got shut off. Never. I don't buy that theology. I don't buy into it at all. I think God is able to do everything God was able to do today as he was then. That's what I believe. So when I pray for somebody to come to faith in Christ, here's what I don't pray. Can I just tell you this? I don't pray, God, if it's your will, bring them to faith in Christ. Do you know why I don't pray that? Because the Bible says it is God's will that all would be saved and all would come to the knowledge of the truth. But Jeff, what if you pray and they don't come to Christ? I can't control somebody's heart. I can't control somebody's unbelief. Hey, when somebody's sick in our church, God, if it's your will, heal them. I don't pray that. It is God's will that he'll heal them. I pray for healing. I believe every believer is going to be healed. You say, well, Jeff, I prayed for believers before and they died. Guess what? Then the day they died, they're as healed as they've ever been. Right? So the truth is, I'm praying for healing. God gets to choose his timetable and his way for how he's going to do it. But I'm not going to pray these phony little prayers about if it's your will. I know what God's will is. The Bible tells me what God's will is. God wants to do amazing things and unleash his power. And it is not humility to say, I don't believe in the power of God. Humility is saying, I believe in the power of God. Humility is saying, God, I believe you can do everything you say you're going to do. So I'm just going to trust that you're going to do that. We were out at Brooklyn Tabernacle this last week and we went to the Tuesday night prayer meeting, which usually gathers 3,000-ish people. And Pastor Jim, when he was up there talking early on in the meeting, he was talking about a missionary who had been part of their church for some 20 years. And now, I think they were in Ecuador, and the daughter was down there. And he described this illness she had, this huge surgery she was going to have the next day. And he read her email saying, hey, she's asking for prayer. The surgery scheduled for tomorrow. Can we just pray for her? And he just walked down the stairs, and he called this gal up. He said, hey, sister, you want to come here and just pray? He handed her a microphone. I said, this would be interesting. And this woman began to pray. Not obnoxiously, but so fervently that I'm like, I know God heard that. And as she was praying, like 3,000 people began to cry out to the Lord and pray for God's mercy and help. And this went on for about 3 or 4 minutes. not obnoxious, but very fervent, very loud, very faith-filled, very believing. And she prayed, and everybody was cheering in the whole room. And then when she finished her prayer and said, amen, Jim grabbed the microphone very calmly, started walking back up the stairs, and with his back to us said, I believe now help is on the way. And I was like, you bet it is. Holy cow, I'd never heard anything like that in my life, right? And that's why I want to be a praying church, because I believe that the power of God always wants to be unleashed on his people all the time. That's why we are going to be a praying church as long as I'm your pastor. That's why we're going to pursue prayer in more and more ways. Why? Because, you know, it's not just in Brooklyn that God shows up. I mean, it was really cool. We met a guy, the guy that was out in the lobby that was greeting everybody. He had a cane. His name was Eric. He had MS. He told us his story. He was in the drug scene. He told us about the time he was laying on his back with a gun pointed right at his head, thinking this was going to be his last minute in time, and how God spared his life and how he came to Christ. And this guy was so filled with joy. He's like, I got MS and I got joy. He goes, I'm so fired up about Jesus. Where are y'all from? We said, we're from Denver. He goes, man, thanks for being here. Isn't it awesome to know the power of God? I mean, it was awesome. Everybody was there for one reason and one reason only, to encounter the power of God. And they believed that God was going to show up. And I'm telling you, it was awesome. And here's what I believe. I believe God does it everywhere. Do you know God does it here? You want to hear a couple stories from just this week? Because I don't do a good job of sharing all these stories. I had somebody call me this week that leads a Harvest small group. He goes, hey, Pastor Jeff, check this out. So there was a gal in my Harvest group that heard your message last week that she couldn't screw up the gospel. And so she went over to her neighbor who's 95 years old, and she shared the gospel with her neighbor, and her 95-year-old neighbor trusted Christ. Is that worthy of praise? And then on Thursday, I'm kind of finishing up my day. I'm getting ready to check out and hear this story. One of our children's workers came back with our receptionist and said, hey, you'll never guess this. Hey, this gal came in and she started talking about some of her needs and how she had woke up today and said she needed to get more into religion. And our children's worker said, you don't need religion, you need Jesus. And she said, well, will you help me? So she was kind of startled by the question. She's like, so I did just what I did with the kids. I said, you got to admit you're a sinner, believe Jesus died and rose for you, and confess him as your Lord. And she did, and started weeping right out here in our lobby and trusted Jesus Christ. Is that not worthy of praise? That's the power of the gospel. See, the gospel's simple. There's not a lot of hoops to jump through. It's simply believing. But when you believe, what are you believing in? You're believing in the power of God. See, the gospel and the power of God is for all believers right now. If you want to hold your finger in Romans and flip over to 2 Peter towards the end of your Bible, I'll give you a verse I think is awesome. I think they're all awesome, but I think this one's particular in what we're talking about today. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, his divine power, the verse before talks about the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're talking about Jesus Christ's power. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. So God's divine power, what's it granted to us? Everything pertaining to life and everything pertaining to godliness, which means everything that you need to live the life that God wants you to have is provided in the gospel through the power of God. You don't need to go anywhere else to get what you need. Now, here's why this is important. Because the gospel boils down to real life stuff that we deal with every single day of our life. Some of you here have been praying for unsaved family members and friends for a long, long time. Can I just tell you something? The power of God is great, and the power of God can do what you're asking. Some of you have been praying about your marriage. Can I just tell you? The power of God is what you need in your marriage. The power of God is what you need in your marriage. I know what some of you say. Yeah, but she's like this. And if she would only change, then I'd be fine. Yeah, but he's like this. And if he would only change, I'd be fine. But see, if you want the power of God in your life, here's what you go say. God, what do I need to change? And God's like, yeah, well, every time that your spouse treats you badly, that is an awesome opportunity for my power to show up in your life, for you to demonstrate my forgiveness and my ongoing love and your service to somebody that's unlovable. And don't you want my power in your marriage? And I'm telling you, if you'll live that way, God will change your marriage. See, we want everybody else to change. See, sometimes we want to be part of a church where the power of God is at work in the church, but we don't have to experience God. And we just like tag-tailing on, be like, man, God's showing up in that church. That's cool. I don't have to do a thing. But when people get right with God and say, God, I need your power in my life. What do you need power for in your life? Well, I need power over temptation in my life. I need power over sin in my life. I need power over the devil, which Jesus destroyed the works of his. I need power in my new identity. I need power in our church. And I want to see power in the world. And that's what I want to see. And you know why this is so important? Can I just tell you why? I was reading an article on the way to New York from Time Magazine. They had a great article about pornography in there. And do you know what has happening now with pornography? I mean, it's kind of like the thing guys don't talk about in church because we just kind of assume that we're okay, but we're not. Because the world has infiltrated the church and many guys struggle with pornography. You know what's happening? Non-Christian guys are seeing what damage it has done to their sexuality, and non-Christian guys are now creating sites to tell non-Christian people, don't get involved in porn. It's horrible. That's what the Bible's been talking about for years, hasn't it? What does God want? Clean hands and a pure heart. What's God want? A pure heart, a pure heart. You know it's possible to have a pure heart before the Lord? Do you know that's possible? See, because if it's not, then our gospel has no power. Because here's what we'll tell somebody. Somebody struggles with pornography, illicit sexuality. Before they get saved, they're not even struggling with it. They just swim in it. Then they get saved, and here's what we tell them. Oh, yeah, brother. I know what you deal with, man. Every guy struggles like that. That's just what you deal with. Really? So, before I was saved, I was having fun, no struggle. Now that I'm saved, I have to live in my flesh and struggle with this for the rest of my life? Really? Not according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, God has the power to heal the heart. God has the power to make pure. So that guy comes to my small group and say, yeah, I realize that God needs to teach you how to overcome temptation. I realize God needs to teach you about how you have power over sin. But let me tell you something. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you can have victory over it because I'm a living testimony of it. You can have a pure heart before the Lord. I know you can because I have the power of God in my life. And everybody can have the power of God in their life if they believe. That's why I get so fired up. And you know I get fired up when people, oh, well, he's an alcoholic. She's an anorexic. We'll always come up with earthly names to define sin, to make somebody a victim so they can stay in the same sin pattern. You're not an anorexic and you're not an alcoholic. So Jeff, you don't know anything about alcoholics. I know I come from a whole line of alcoholics. And I know if I hadn't placed my faith and trust in Christ, I'd be one, just like the generation I've seen. But I'm not a victim to that.
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, It's Available to You, from the series, The Power of the Gospel, to encourage you with the truth that the power of God is available to you as a Christian. We'll return to his teaching in a moment, but before we do, we want to help you be prepared to go boldly against the flow of culture and unapologetically take a stand for kingdom values. And we invite you to become a Brave Warrior today by signing up for emails from Pastor Jeff. You'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff and hear more of today's Bible teaching.
Jeff, you don't know anything about alcoholics. I know I come from a whole line of alcoholics. And I know if I hadn't placed my faith and trust in Christ, I'd be one, just like the generation I've seen. But I'm not a victim to that. I begin to ask the Lord to show me how I live victoriously over that so that that is not a habit in my life that takes me out. And God has shown me how to do that. Do you know there's power over your sin? See, if there's no power over your sin, then what's the good news of sharing the gospel? Because then your gospel presentation looks like this. I know you're enjoying your life, brother. Hey, sister, I know you think you're having fun, but if you trust Christ, you'll continue to do the same things you're doing now, but you'll feel miserable about it until you get to heaven. Would you like to trust Christ today? That's our gospel presentation. That's not my gospel presentation. Oh, yeah, but Jeff, you still sin. Yeah, I sin, but I don't sin the same sins I was sinning 20 years ago. I don't sin the same sins I was sinning 5 years ago. Why? Because I'm progressively growing in Christ. God can change a heart. See, everything changes when you seek his face. Yeah, but Pastor Jeff, you don't understand. I deal with emotional issues and I have bipolarity and all this stuff. Well, what about the guy in Mark chapter 4 that Jesus saw that was chained up, that was a total mess, and came and healed him? And what did all the villagers say when they came out and saw him? This guy is now in his right mind. And as believers, we have what? The mind of Christ. See, the reason sin continues in church and the reason people don't feel victory in church is because well-meaning Christians tell younger Christians, don't worry, you can't change because I've never been able to change either. And I'm here to tell you it's garbage. You do not have to continue to struggle with the same sins you've struggled with. There is power in the blood of Jesus to overcome all your sins. And there's freedom and hope and joy and life in that. Now, let me just say this. If you're struggling with sin, welcome. I'm glad you're here. There's no shame for that. Jesus Christ died on the cross for that. You don't need to feel beat up, but I'm going to tell you something. You can't go change it by working it out. Because the third thing I want to tell you about the gospel is that the gospel satisfies the demands of God through faith in Jesus Christ. What God demanded, faith provided. Notice what the second verse says in verse 17 of Romans chapter 1. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, or from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. In other words, everything that God demands of us, Jesus Christ provides. Everything. God, how am I going to be pure? Jesus provides it. How's he provide it? By faith, by believing he's given me that. How's he going to give me righteousness? By faith. I believe that I'm righteous. It's obtained by faith. It's designed for faith. In other words, God wants me to continue to walk out what he pours in my life. Everything that God demands, he's willing to give to me. So don't get discouraged if you read the Bible like I used to, and I'd read the Bible and I'd see all these things that I wasn't doing right and just get frustrated. All those things are the Holy Spirit in your life saying, if you'll believe by faith, you can have all those things. But God, I'm not very generous with my money. But God, by faith, I believe you want me to be. Show me how to be. But God, I really don't have a pure heart. But by faith, God, I pray you're going to show me how to have a pure heart so I can walk with you. God, I don't want to forgive that person. I have a lot of unforgiveness and bitterness, and it's kind of comforting to me to hold on to. But God, by faith, I believe that you're going to show me how to have a spirit of forgiveness and forgive somebody. God, I love to gossip and talk about what's going wrong in my family, in my church, in my workplace. That's just what I do. I love hearing the morsels of gossip. I love telling other people about them. But God, by faith, I believe you want to guard my tongue and give me a pure heart. And I believe you're going to give me that and help me grow into that. I mean, the power of God is unleashed for anybody that wants the power of God. Anybody. For all who believe. For in the gospel, the righteousness is provided. Who goes to heaven? Only righteous people go to heaven. Well, how am I going to be righteous? How can I be made righteous? By faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why am I righteous? Because I believe that Jesus Christ declares me righteous. That's why I'm righteous. I'm clearly not righteous because I'm better than somebody. I am righteous because Jesus Christ declares me righteous, and by faith, that's what I believe. So my gospel presentation, when I'm presenting the gospel to the world, is not, hey, you're bad. You should be good like me. If you believe in Jesus, you will be. It's not my gospel presentation. My gospel presentation is, you're dead, and Jesus Christ wants to make you alive. And if you'll walk with him, you can experience the power of God presently every day in your life. That's the gospel. And Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, and he rose from the dead in victory to let you know he's alive, to give you the very life that you're looking for. Now, can I just tell you something? Because many of us as Christians, we hear the gospel, but we don't believe it. I mean, we'll read scriptures. We'll even argue with non-believers about what the Bible says without believing it. The Bible says in Mark 9:23, nothing is impossible for him who believes. Believe that? Nothing. I mean, you didn't hear what I said. I said nothing is impossible for him who believes. You didn't hear me. Because some of you are saying, no, but my marriage is a mess. Nothing is impossible for him who believes. You're totally not hearing what I'm saying. You're not. But we're short on cash this month. Nothing is impossible for him who believes. Amen. Now you're starting to hear me. But God, we have problems in our church. Yeah, you think you see them, I see them more. But nothing is impossible for him who believes. Amen. Isn't that awesome? I mean, when Jesus said those words, it was to the father that had a son that was struggling and throwing himself in the fire and almost drowning. And the man comes to Jesus and says, hey, if you can do something. And Jesus is like, if I can? Nothing is impossible for him who believes. What's the guy then say? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I'm admitting to you that I know you can, but I don't know that I totally believe you can. So help me believe that you actually will do the thing you're going to do. Nothing's impossible for him who believes. See, some of you have dreams down in your heart right here that God's going to use you for some different things. Some of you have dreams for your marriage. Some of you have dreams for your kids. Some of you have dreams for your job. Some of you have dreams for the world. Some of you have dreams for our church. And here's what you'll hear. Because the world and the devil will always tell, oh, that's not going to happen. God couldn't use you. God's not going to use that. God's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. And then you can pool with other people who will also tell you God's not going to do that. But here's what God's always saying. Nothing's impossible if you'll just believe that I can do that. I can use you to do that. I mean, the greatest people throughout church history are not talented people. They weren't talented people in the first century. The reason Jesus picked a ragtag band of disciples he picked is because everybody else was already selected. They already went to the good schools. Who did Jesus pick? He picked people that he knew would believe in him. And if you believe in him, he'll do a great work. See, the problem with many of us is we want God to do all those things, but here's what we don't want. We don't want God. God wants us to want him. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, oh Lord, your face I will seek. If you just want God, everything else flows out of that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. What does God want from you? He doesn't want you to be the one that comes to him all the time. God, do this. God, do that. 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 I want you to do that. I want you to do that. I want you to do this. That's not what God wants. God, I want you. God, because I know no matter what I'm going through, if I have you, I'm good. I just want you. I just want you. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask for whatever you wish. I'll do that too. If you want Jesus, he'll do whatever you ask for his reputation. And we're going to talk more about that as we go on. But I want you to know something today. God wants to unleash his power in you. And here's the truth. You're the only one that can stop the power of God in your life. You say, how do I do that? I was given this yesterday. I'll give you an example. I was given this light bulb. Supposedly it's a 40-watt light bulb. Supposedly it's brand new. It's never worked. I mean, I held it last night. It didn't work last night when I held it. It's not working now. But supposedly it's a good light bulb. I just can't get it to work. I mean, I've tried rubbing on it. And I've tried talking to it. It doesn't work. You know why it doesn't work? Because it doesn't have the power that it needs. But there's nothing wrong with the light bulb. It just doesn't have the power that it needs. But you plug this thing into the right power source and all of a sudden this thing will light up. And it will light up the darkness. What does God want us to be? A light to the world. How do we become a light to the world? When we experience the power of God. And then we're lit up. And then people in the world see that we're a city on a hill that can't be hid because we're lit up. And can I tell you this? The more steps of faith that you take, the more God needs to light up. Did you know that? I mean, this is like one little step of faith. But like if I was to say, hey, check this out. I was trusting God for that, but now I'm going to trust God for this too. Trusting God for this. Now, guess what? I need more power from God. Do you know what? I can't limit his resources. The more steps of faith you take, the more God will light your path. It's a fact. If you never take a step of faith, God will not pour his power in you. Why? Because the gospel is from faith to faith, from faith for faith. Take greater steps of faith, trusting in God for greater things. Guess what? You experience more of the power of God the more that you do that. But it's available to everybody. And isn't that good news? Because I think Christians come in and it's almost like our gospel presentation to the world is apologetic and ashamed, feeling like God can't really do what he says he's going to do. We're embarrassed, we're hesitant, we're reluctant, we're private because we ourselves are not experiencing the power of God in our lives. I couldn't stand up here and preach to you week in and week out if I didn't experience the power of God in my life. If I hadn't seen God work in my life and hadn't continued to see God work in my life. And I know me well enough. I've lived with me for a long time. I'm not special. I just believe by faith that God loves me. That's it. Have you trusted in the power of God? The power of God's available to you in the gospel. By admitting you're a sinner, by believing Jesus died and rose from the dead, and by believing and confessing him as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to be resident on the inside and his power is available to you. You believe that? And Christian, for those of you who've trusted in Jesus and who believe in Jesus, I'm telling you, there is more power available to you than what you need, and you do not need to walk around anymore saying, well, if only I had, if only I had, if only I had, if only I had, God isn't, he is. Because nothing is impossible for him. Nothing is impossible for her who believes that Jesus Christ is the Lord. We as believers, we have the best thing going. We serve the living God. We serve the all-powerful God. The same God that created the universe, that raised Jesus from the dead, is available to you in wherever you need him. Who needs a touch like that today? Amen? Amen.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, It's Available to You, from the series, The Power of the Gospel, encouraging you with the truth that the power of God is available to you as a Christian. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to BravePastorJeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit BraveChurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.